every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPALAMASLAHARRMMCMAKMA.
F and A.
Yeah, all them all.
All them all. We don't speak for none of them all.
Yeah, or the Anons.
We don't even speak that great for ourselves, as you're soon to find out. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with...
Shelley.
And Mark, the solution.
The solution. You know what?
What?
Why am I the only one that says Bruce B.?
I don't know.
Bruce B.
Because we all know who you are.
Yeah, I know. You don't like to say Shelley B. or Mark M.
No.
Well, Mark, we just say the... We don't even need... Pretty soon, we won't need to use your name. We'll just call you the solution.
No, still have to use the name.
That's Mark with the cigar in his mouth.
Yeah.
Still have to use the name. Because you got Mike the Situation, so.
Oh, is that what they call him? Mike the Situation?
Yeah.
Wing!
Yes.
Wow. I drove somewhere at like 12 million miles an hour on a freeway that we should not have been driving that fast.
Meet George Jessen.
Oh, my God.
Jane, dude, his wife.
Yeah, it felt like Elroy. 100 miles an hour in the diamond lane, which is the multi-passenger lane. I thought I was going to die.
Jane, stop this crazy thing.
The passenger brake does not work. I tried it many times. Oh, my goodness. What? It's time for a commercial break.
Do you know someone who has a problem with drugs or alcohol? You know you want to intervene, but what can you do? Your loved one, friend, or colleague is spiraling out of control. You can help. Call Diversified Intervention Group. You do not have to deal with this problem alone. Call the intervention specialist at 909-559-9568. Diversified Intervention Group specializes in drug and alcohol intervention. We can help break the cycle of addiction. There is hope for recovery. The Diversified Intervention Group is your solution. Call 909-559-9568. Call now before it is too late. We provide services throughout North America. The Diversified Intervention Group. One phone call can make the difference.
Diversified Intervention Group is not a medical provider, nor do we provide medical services. If you feel that you are suffering a life-threatening situation, then immediately call 911 or contact your health care provider. Our drug and alcohol intervention service does not intend to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease.
Awesome! Dig him.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out.
He can't resist.
I can't.
I wish you could, because it's so annoying.
It's like Pavlov's dog.
Geez, somebody put that dog out of its misery.
Welcome back.
What do you want to do?
I would like to do...
To the same old place that you laughed about.
Shelly, you have to change the subject
for
him.
Names
are
changed.
You going to intro it?
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. I'm shocked.
Maud.
I'm annoyed. This first one is kind of sad. In the UK in Shropshire, Keith Guff, 58 years old, won £9 million in the lottery.
Give him some
the
guff.
Sad part.
Then quit his job and drank himself to death out of boredom.
Wow.
What
literally.
Who'd he leave the money to?
He spent it all.
He didn't. He only had, out of the £9 million, only £800,000 was left at the end, and it didn't say who it went to.
That's a lot of drinking.
And he only won the lottery 5 years ago.
You know what I think?
What?
He had enough booze.
He had enough.
Sad. I mean, think about all the people he could have, like, helped or whatever with that money. And
yeah.
He could have donated a big old clump and whomping bunch of it to Recovery 101 to
Look
help other people
way.
Not to die like that.
Look at it this way. Maybe he was an asshole. And by drinking himself to death, he helped a lot of people who don't have to be around him anymore.
It was God's will.
He took himself out of the water pool.
That's it. Water, more water for me.
Yeah, that's right.
It's still sad.
He can survive another day.
Yes.
It's still sad. This next story, it's a big business story. GlaxoSmithKline, the British drug company, has agreed to pay a £750 million fine to settle civil and criminal complaints that the company has been selling contaminated medication for years. The medications were made mainly in Puerto Rico, and some of them went under the brand names Avandia, Paxil, and Tagamet.
Wow.
The medications were either contaminated or did not work.
Isn't Tagamet the
heartburn medication?
Oh, I was thinking it was something for your stomach.
No. Well.
Kind of, sort of, but not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's...
Gee, I've heard of those names.
Yeah, Paxil's an antidepressant, and it didn't work.
Oh. Well, there you go. It only works on 5% of the people.
It did on half the people.
Yeah. It only works on 5% of the people.
Half that didn't really need it.
Yeah, really. Well,
that's just thought they were taking something to make them feel better.
You know what?
Yeah, I know.
There you go.
The mind is an amazing instrument.
It's a terrible thing to waste.
It's a terrible thing to waste.
Sugar pills.
Yeah, but that's just horrible. And £750 million fine is a pretty hefty fine, but for years they've been pawning off bad pharmaceuticals on the public.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, it happens.
It happens with that socialized medicine system.
Yeah.
What was that, a British company?
Yeah.
Yeah, but those pharmaceuticals were coming to the U.S. too.
Oh,
a snapshot of our future.
There you go.
Oh, by the way,
yes?
I need to give shout outs for the Boozy News to Robert, Sarah, Fran, Donald, and Connor.
Connor got one for the
Connor
Boozy
got
News?
A Boozy News here, and I'm about to do it right now.
Okay.
In Boulder, Colorado, a man shot himself in the knee with a 9mm handgun while sleepwalking under the influence of painkillers.
Did it hurt?
That's a good question.
No, it didn't hurt.
Yeah. You know how it hurt? Because he didn't shoot his other knee next.
Yeah.
Yeah. I shot myself in both knees. Why? Because I was on painkillers. The first one didn't hurt.
Wow.
But I mean... He must have taken more than the recommended dose or something. I mean,
you think
to be sleepwalking? I mean,
well, you can sleepwalk with no dose. It's just that, you know.
Yeah. How much pain medication do you recommend I take before I shoot myself in the knee?
Yeah.
True.
He probably had just the right amount.
How many people sleepwalk with a 9mm?
That's a little scary in itself.
Yeah.
You can sleep drive on Ambien.
Lunesta. It may cause drowsiness.
It's actually in the warnings on the warning label that it can
really?
Cause sleep driving.
Sleep driving.
People have been known to get up and go and get in their cars and drive.
Does anybody else freaked out by the quantity of small print that goes with anything? I always love the ones that say may cause death in rare occasions. I'm like, I don't want to take that medication.
Yeah, really?
I just don't want to.
Yikes. Okay, reported in Psychology Today, you guys are going to love this one, two new long-term studies, one in the U.S. and one in the U.K.
Apparently we missed the funding for these.
Yes, and this was funding for a good one, too. Both show a correlation between heavy drinking and intelligence. In other words, smarter people drink more.
Sweet. Thought we didn't?
We must be geniuses.
I am freaking brilliant.
We are.
We all are.
We're Mensa
awesome.
Candidates. They're not exactly sure why that should be, but they came up with three theories. The first theory was to make up for boring, studious years when they were children. They made up for it later in life. I don't buy that one. The second one is evolution. Smart people adapt to new things earlier, so when alcohol was first being made, smart people were the first to try it. And they just kept on trying it, I guess. I don't buy this one. The third theory is the one I buy. They drink so they can put up with the rest of society.
I drank because I liked the effect created by booze. I just realized that was running the entire time we've been on.
Yeah, we've had machinery running in the background, but we're okay now.
Yeah.
It's off.
It's off. They probably won't be able to tell.
You never know. I've heard people say they heard parrots.
Yep. True. You know why I drank?
Why?
Because I liked it.
Yeah, I like the effect caused by alcohol.
You know why I quit? So I didn't like it anymore.
Yeah.
You like what you're getting.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Okay, Four Loko, which is a drink we reported a couple shows ago.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on CNN.
Yes, Four Loko is being blamed for sickening dozens of students in central Washington State and sending nine of them to the hospital.
Yes.
The Washington State Attorney General, Rob McKenna, is going to petition the FDA to ban the drink nationwide.
They call it, oh my God, there was a name, they call it blackout something. Like, what, I can't remember what the kid name for it is, but it's like blackout juice or something. That's what they call it. And it's like a monster drink with huge amounts of booze in it.
Well, one of the problems with the stuff is that you don't feel how much you're drinking.
Right.
It's only 12% alcohol, which really, when you think about it.
Yeah, but it comes in those ginormous cans.
Yeah, it comes
cans,
in a ginormous
and
can.
You can drink like a bunch of them and
it
you still
feel. It tastes like fruit
juice. Yeah, you still feel wide awake.
Is this some of that zero to naked stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the major problems they're finding with teenagers is that they'll drink a couple of cans, get completely impaired, but because they're completely wired from all the caffeine, will think that they're less drunk than they really are and go and drive and crash.
Yeah, well, this gal was talking about at this party, she said people were literally falling out. She goes, you'd be standing there talking to someone, and suddenly they just pass out from standing straight up down to the ground. And some guy, which I thought this was kind of funny. I mean, not funny, but funny. This guy's like, oh, yeah, I must have carried four girls up to their rooms. I'm thinking, I'll bet you did.
Yeah.
There's another brand of the stuff is also not brand. Well, it is brand. Another one is called Juice, J-O-O-S-E.
Juice.
Yep. Does the same thing. And teachers are finding, because it looks like a monster drink or a, you know, it doesn't.
People drink it in class?
Yeah, they're taking the stuff to school with them. And other teachers thinking that they were just energy drinks, not realizing what the kids were drinking in class.
Sweet.
Hey,
Teach.
Yeah.
You want one?
My main problem with this story.
Yes.
Is that the newscaster who was from L.A., her name is Florinda Riggs, could not for the life of her pronounce the word alcohol.
An entire story of alcohol.
This and alcohol, and I just, it was really hard for me to listen to the story because of that.
Brianna, can I buy an L?
I could take a guess, and I'm not going to.
No.
You would be wrong.
Yeah, you would be wrong.
Oh, really?
Okay, the next story. Charlie Sheen's publicist claims he had an adverse reaction to a prescribed medication. But police were called to the Plaza Hotel in New York after he appeared to be drunk, was shouting and throwing furniture. He was taken to the hospital for a psychiatric evaluation, although he was released today.
Yeah, they didn't, when they went to pick him up, I don't remember what the code is, but it was a code for mentally disturbed. That's why they went.
Wait, that's what his publicist said?
Yes.
Do you have down what Charlie said?
He's being quiet.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's not?
Charlie went.
I haven't heard anything yet.
Charlie said he lost his wallet and he was tossing some things around, looking under them, trying to find his wallet.
Well, clearly that's what you need to believe.
And
we're making a much bigger deal of this than it really was.
So they called the police because he was just making a little bit of a disturbance.
With the naked hooker in the bathroom and his wife and kids three rooms down?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
I didn't read that part.
Oh, you didn't hear that part? Oh,
no,
my God.
That wasn't in the story I read.
Yeah, his kids were like in the room next door, and he had a naked hooker in the room with them. Well, maybe that, you know what?
They were in the room next door. There were a few rooms down.
That makes sense. With the niece. You know why it makes sense? He was looking for his wallet to pay the hooker.
Could be.
It must be. I'm shocked.
I'm disgusted.
I'm Shelley's strangely intrigued.
Oh. Well, he's one for the hookers, that guy. Wasn't he one of the bigger names in Heidi Fleiss's book?
Yeah.
But, you know, I just got to wonder. Of course, I wonder a lot about some of these guys. You're with Denise Richards.
Yeah.
Why are you cheating?
Because it's there. Yeah, no, I'm there with that. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Guess that's proof positive that no matter how good looking she is, some guy recently got tired of her.
I'll tell you, I got an email one time, and it's got this picture of this absolutely gorgeous, like 24-year-old girl, who's like model quality. I mean, just like everything about her looks great, and it says, "Isn't this girl attractive?" isn't she like one of the most attractive women you've ever seen? It's like, look at her body. It's absolutely perfect. But you know what? There's still some guy tired of putting up with her shit.
Yep.
I don't know. I think maybe it's a power thing with guys. Some guys, you know, they get the hot chick and they've got the great life and everything, and somehow they still feel the need to prove to other people that they can do whatever they want with impunity. You know, I've got this great chick and she's not going to leave me.
Or with $500.
I'm all that in a bag of chips, and I can still go out and get a hooker and she'll still be with me.
You can be 5'11 and 350 pounds and go get a hooker.
Yeah, all you need is a bank account.
Yeah. As long as you don't lose your wallet and have to toss the hotel room to find it.
Yeah, true.
It was just like the thing. I got to throw this in. A really older man, silver-haired older man, and a very attractive young, like 25-year-old, go into a jewelry store. The jewelry store owner looks at the guy and says, what can I help you with? He goes, I need a really, really nice ring. He goes in the back. He brings up this $5,000 diamond ring. He goes, no, I'm thinking something much more special. Guy goes, oh, well, sir. Goes back, brings out this $40,000 ring, and the girl is like trembling, like shuddering with excitement over this. And the guy goes, how do you want to pay for it? He goes, I'm going to write you a check. He says, don't worry. I understand you need to make sure the check is good. You know, call the bank on Monday morning because it's a Friday night, and then and we'll come and pick it up Monday afternoon. So Monday, the pissed off jewelry store owner calls the guy and goes, there's no money in that account. And the guy goes, I know, but let me tell you about my great weekend. Ba-dum-bum.
Is there any more news?
I got that from Roger Brown.
In Northampton, Pennsylvania, a man has been charged with child endangerment after he tied a 2-year-old to a park bench so that he could go off looking for their siblings.
Sitting on a park bench.
Why didn't he just take them with him?
What?
Oh, see? There you went. You went there.
She did.
Aqualung.
Yes, she did. A song about pedophiles. With tuberculosis.
My friend. Now, why didn't he just take the kid with him?
The story was not clear.
Wow.
Yeah, that falls under the heading of too stupid to live.
Once
another
again?
One to get to for the water pool. Knock them off. So
we have to,
more
you
water
know, we have
for
to
the
start
rest.
The water world recovery pool. Where we can just automatically assure these people into the water world recovery pool.
There you go. Less of these guys, the more fresh water for the rest of the earth.
That's right.
Sounds like a plan to me.
You'll thank us in 20 years.
Yes.
Okay, we got to get this last one in. A Virginia man, Farouk Ahmed, was arrested for attempting to help people he believed to be members of Al-Qaeda in planning multiple bombings of the Washington, D.C. Metro Rail. However, the story, and here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it was a sting.
You think?
Because they were not clear in the story, and FBI sources declined to comment on who the people were that he thought he was planning this with.
The fact that they started out with saying he thought that they were people in Al-Qaeda probably lets you know they weren't.
Right.
Of course, you know what? If I was the government and I caught the guy by the skin of my teeth, I would try to assure everybody by telling them we knew what was going on the whole time anyway.
Yeah, they keep saying that the public was never in any danger.
Can you ask your wife about that? She probably knows.
You know what? That's actually the line she rides every day to and from work.
And you know what, though? I mean,
that's
she probably
the line she
has
rides.
Heard, if there's something going on with that, or
she hadn't heard about
on?
It until I told her about it this afternoon.
Oh, yikes.
Wow.
Wow.
Scary stuff.
That is.
That's the end of the boozy news.
I think we pulled it in. I think we survived with that.
And now?
It's time for a commercial break.
Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Casa de las Amigas. That's a great place. I remember when
you
it
spent
was
any time there.
I remember when I tried to.
Yeah.
What they had meetings there, outside meetings you could go to. It was all women's recovery place. Mm-hmm. But this is back in the day when it was like a house, and now it's like a block of facility, big time. There's a fresh wind that blows.
Whoosh.
Okay. So what's our topic?
Mark?
When old timers relapse.
Oh, okay.
We're going with that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sent in by a listener.
Well, now, and here's a little bit of trouble we have with discussing, because I think their question was, how do they get back in the program
right.
and everything?
Right.
Because none of us relapse. I mean, Mark's never relapsed.
Nope.
You relapse with a little bit of time. I relapse never with more than 60-something days. So we haven't had that experience. So it's kind of hard for us to say from our experience, but I would have to think that you get back the same way you got there in the first place.
I don't.
Not necessarily. I think that it's a lot harder for people with a lot of time to come back.
Well, no, it's we're not talking. Well, I mean, I thought the question was, how do they get back? It's not that it's easier for them, but certainly mm-hmm. what you would need to do is what you did the first time, which is go to meetings even though you don't want to and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. The thing would be, we know a guy that had 25 years and went out, and my feeling on that is, wow. See, I don't know. I can't imagine it. I really can't. I cannot imagine thinking that a drink, a fix, a pill would fix anything.
Well, and he came back and identified as a newcomer again, but I haven't seen him since then.
I heard that he's back, but that he's having issues. But that's a long time. Mark?
Yeah?
If for some ungodly reason you chose to drink or use no matter what, because we know you choose not to drink or use no matter what.
Yeah.
What do you think you'd do?
Well, you know, I think it's different from disease to disease. Oops. For instance, my drug of choice was cocaine.
Imagine that.
When I came into this program, it was explained to me that I came back in the days when when our music delivery system was a little different. We listened to albums.
Yeah, that yes. was great.
So I had somebody describe it to me as, your addiction is an album on a turntable and the needle is set and it's playing. Okay. And it's progressing on the album.
Yes.
When you walk in the room and get sober, you turn the volume down.
Okay.
Your disease continues to progress without you.
Right.
If you come back in, you do not pick up where you left off. You pick up where your disease would have been had you never stopped.
Right.
Now, I know where my disease was when I shut the volume off. I know that 25 years later, if I were to turn that volume back up and pick up where I would have been anyway, I don't have to worry about coming back.
No, you would have been instantly dead.
I'll be dead.
Instantly dead.
I'll be dead. I have no doubt about it that if I go back out, I will be dead. It won't be a matter of coming back in. It won't be a matter of you guys coming and 12-stepping me. Because
well,
you're
going
to come, six of you are going to need to come
to
carry me.
And it's kind of like when you talk, like for instance, it may be sort of substance specific as well, because you know what, people that drink, you would start drinking a lot really fast and you would get drunk and you would get pass out just like people that drink.
Mm-hmm.
If I went back and slammed the same amount I slammed, dude, I'm not in my 20s anymore.
No.
I am on the short side of, you know, I'm going to be 49. I'm on the short side of being 50. I couldn't slam half a gram of speed or half a gram of coke. It would for sure
you
kill
could
me. Well, once. I could. How about you, Shelley?
I don't know if I got some more time.
You got plenty.
That's not what you said last week.
You almost have your foot in the door.
Yeah. Your time's quality, though. It's not like Bruce and Mike.
Yeah, so, yeah, we've got quantity, but that's it.
The one thing that, not one thing, but one of the things that keeps me, I was just telling Mark about this earlier, is that one of the things that keeps me surrendering on a daily basis to make sure that I don't end up in a bad position is that it would only take one drink to ruin my entire life.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to have two or three or four because the structure of my life would be completely changed. I probably wouldn't be able to stop with one. Yeah. But it would only take the first one. And coming back wouldn't really fix anything. So I might be tempted to drink myself to death.
Yeah.
See, if I went out on booze, it'd be really an interesting thing because I didn't drink a lot of booze, although I could drink a lot of booze. Yeah. And I had been known to drink alcoholically. But as all in all, I didn't drink alcoholically all the time.
Give Mark a beer.
I don't care much for beer.
Give Mark some Grey Goose.
No, I'm not a big vodka person. Single malt scotch. I'm good.
I was going to say, get him a bottle of T-Bird.
Yeah, no, I didn't go anywhere near that. You know, but it's like, so.
Ripple.
If I went out and drank, and I had a couple glasses of scotch, and I thought about it the next day, I thought that was really stupid. I wonder how long it would be before I would admit it in the rooms.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? There could be a lot to be said for that.
Because I could play it off pretty good.
You know what? I could probably play it off forever, but it would be killing you eventually on the inside.
I have no conscience. I'm okay.
Oh. Well, good. No, but I see that point. Mm-hmm. Like me, I've said it before. My ego would not allow me. I guarantee you, that's the only thing in my life I can think that ego is mm-hmm. good for. Mm-hmm. I do not believe that my ego would allow me to go out mm-hmm. no matter what. It would have to be, I can't even imagine what could happen that would make mm-hmm. me, I mean, I know people that have lost kids and all kinds of things. It's like, mm-hmm. I've been around long enough, I don't think I could do it. I couldn't do it.
What if I could go to San Diego and be a newcomer there so I make sure I don't do it again? But stay up here and have all my time and just play it off.
Sure.
I could put my four-step off long enough that I don't have to deal with it.
You know, it'd be awesome. You go in as a newcomer to some meeting down there. You're like, people are like, damn, he knows a lot. You say, I'm a quick study.
Yeah.
I'm a quick study.
Yeah. Read the book I have.
Shelster?
What?
What advice would you give to someone who had a lot of time, who went out? I mean, what would you say to someone like, and I'll put the question out to everyone, but you first, you know, what would you say to the person? Because to me, when I look at it and I know what would happen to my ego if I went out, that is the one thing that has got to be tough. I mean, this guy that we're talking about used to give this guy mm-hmm. rides everywhere, 54 years sober, and, you know, he was like a guy. He'd been around a long time, and it's like a lot of people knew him.
54?
Harvey.
No, you're talking about...
I'm saying that this person gave Harvey rides
right.
everywhere, and he mm-hmm. was associated with the guy with a ton of time, and...
What I did say was that having him back was the best Christmas present I ever got.
Wow. And since it wasn't even Christmas, he figured, I'll just go out for a while again, and I'll come back around Christmas?
No, it was late November when he came back.
Has it been that long already?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't think he's been around the whole time then.
No. And that's what I'm saying is that he had a really hard time sticking around again. It's much easier to stay here than it is to come back.
Clearly.
But I mean, I don't know that it would be hard for me in my, you know, with 4 years to tell somebody that just relapsed with 25 how to work a program. Because they know what they're supposed to do.
Apparently for that moment, your program is working better than theirs.
Yeah, but still, I'd be hard-pressed to give advice on that situation.
How about you, Mark? Let's say you're 25 years sober and you're sponsoring a guy with 18 years or 20 years, and that person goes out. What advice, what sage pearls of wisdom would you drop on this guy to assuage his fears about coming back around? Hasn't happened, but...
Work the first step right this time.
Ah.
But, you know, it's really funny. We talk about these things, and, you know, and there's a lot of different topics that we take on. And when we take on topics that have to do with relapse, I just shake my head inside.
Yes.
Because if you've been around this program for any length of time and you go back out, you're an idiot. You deserve whatever you get. If you're showing up looking for sympathy, I'll give you a hug. I'll welcome you back, and I'll tell you, you're an idiot. You know?
What the hell were you thinking?
I had a guy I sponsored with 6 months, went back out. He texted me. He called me. We talked. He texted me 2 days later. You know what he texted me? I'm an idiot.
I got a text like that yesterday from a sponsee.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I had to let this sponsee have it. I said, you know what? You don't take direction. Mm-hmm. You spend half the meeting outside talking. Mm-hmm. When you're in the meeting, you make castles out of candy wrappers.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? Then you get loaded. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you anymore, because you know what? You don't listen.
There's nothing to tell him. He's not even close to ready.
You don't listen, and that's it. Well, what would you tell me to do? I tell you to do exactly what I've told you to do all along. And you know what? And the reality is, that's what I tell someone with a lot of time that went out too. I tell them the same thing. You know what? You got to go back to meetings. You got to pay attention. You got to do all this stuff you did when you were new, because you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You're new. And if I went out, which I can pretty much guarantee is not going to happen, but if I went out, I would expect someone to tell me that too. Get your ass to a meeting and do exactly what you know you're supposed to do.
I'd move.
Oh, clearly.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd get sober. Wouldn't be here.
Yep, no way.
I'd be out. I'd go out to Tennessee. I'd see Fran. Hey, Fran. Yeah, I got my 21 years. What's up? How you doing? Got any guys need sponsoring? Tell them how to do it right.
Yeah. No, but I'd just work the first step right this time.
Sweet. Shelley.
Yes.
Do we have any friends back east?
We have Bruce.
The other white meat.
Runs the 12-Step Gazette. You can go to 12stepgazette.com. That's the number 12, one and a two, stepgazette.com. And you can read his fine publication online, or you can get it through email, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post.
Sweet.
Eventually.
Mark?
Bruce?
Do we have any friends online?
InTheRooms.com. You can go up onto their site, and you can hunt around in the A of your choice, and you can go to chat rooms. You can go listen to speaker tapes. You can go to our embedded player. I wasn't going to say inbred because I was leaving that for you.
Inbred player, baby. Yeah.
You can go to our player, Friends of Recovery 101. You can listen to the show while you hunt around the site. Have a great time.
I went to the inbred player with my...
Yeah, we know.
Sister who I married last week. We got the 12-step music. Oh, you know what?
Yeah. Maybe.
I'm not so sure. Yeah. 12-step
music.
This will probably be the last time we'll say this. 12stepmusicfest.com. If it's already happened by the time the show goes up, you can start going and looking at the videos they'll put up of the show so you can get ready for next year. But it's in Key West, Florida. It's at the Coa Campground. Go to 12stepmusicfest.com. To see what it's got there. Artie Kornfeld from Woodstock and Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night and Mark Lundum, the addiction comedy specialist guy, are all there. It looks like it's going to be a good time.
Okay.
Do we have any email addresses, Mark?
Recovery101radio at gmail.com, recovery101radio at hotmail.com, and recovery_101@hotmail.com.
Sweet. Everyone, send us some topics.
Or you're going to keep hearing this stuff.
You know what we should do? At the beginning of the next show, we'll say we need topics, because I wonder how many people don't actually get to this part of the episode before they go, eh.
I never do. I've shut it off already.
Yeah, they might have. Shelley, do we have any videos?
We have videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Sweet. And Mark.
What?
Who's the lead out music by?
AC/DC.
Oh, Shelley's all good with that. Boy, her head started bobbing up and down like a one of those
head bobbing thing.
Yeah, one of those head bobbing things in the back.
A bobblehead doll.
A bobblehead doll. Everyone, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
I'm out.
So am I. Oh, take care of you.